Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, aliens, ghosts, and robots. Welcome back. Glad you're here. This is Keith. I hope you're feeling okay. I know that as the news seems to get worse and worse sometimes, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and helpless, especially when it seems like you're just one person and there's so many institutions that are beyond your reach and there's nothing you can do. I would like to remind you that you are not alone, that it's at times like these that even though maybe we can't change the mind of a whole political system or a whole government, we can make an impact in the lives of other people around us. And maybe reaching out to one person or two to offer support and help and love is a start. Because I think if enough of us do that, then perhaps we can find the momentum to do more together. And I think it's also important that you stay in touch with people who share the same values that you do. I'd love for you to stay in touch with me, if you'd like. My website, of course, is alienghostrobot.com. But I am on social media. I've had to curate my social media lately. I find it very hard and very taxing on the brain. But if you would like to follow me, I'd love to have you. I'm on Blue Sky at wkeithtims.bsky.social. I'm also on Mastodon at wkeithtims@podvibes.co, and I am on Instagram as well, at wkeithtims. So, come say hi, and let's stay in touch, and let's look out for each other. Okay, here's today's episode. An Invisible Sun by W. Keith Timms. Chapter 16. Mars's surface dwindles away, visible through the elegant windows of Catherine's ship. I caught glimpses of the domes along the Valle Marineris, shrinking until they are indistinguishable from the landscape. When Catherine eased off on the acceleration enough for us to move safely, we shrugged out of the pressure suits and went into the yacht's lushly appointed lounge.
Hold on back there.
The ship made a few more maneuvers and forced us to grab onto the furniture to keep upright. But a moment later, our flight seemed to have stabilized.
Come up to the cockpit.
Moving to four, Matthew opened a door from the lounge and nodded me through first. The flight deck is roomier than I imagined, with two main pilot's chairs surrounded by instruments and controls, and a couple of smaller cushioned benches against the walls behind them. The front panoramic window showed the hazy Martian sky with a few stars peeking through. Catherine sat in the pilot's seat, her brown hair pushed back from her eyes by a thin headset. She glanced over her shoulder and gave me a tiny, wry smile.
So, what have you gotten me into?
Her amused expression turned wary, however, as she looked past me and saw Matthew, Oliver, and Lucy.
Thank you so much.
I somewhat impulsively squeezed myself into the co-pilot's seat.
There's a lot to explain.
Sister Lucy spoke up then.
Perhaps the less you know, the better. But we are grateful for your assistance.
The two women locked eyes a moment. Catherine's gaze turned hard and evaluative, while Lucy's gray eyes were like placid pools.
Catherine, this is Sister Lucy, and that is Oliver and Matthew.
Oliver waved a couple of fingers at her, his lips still pursed sourly. Matthew, on the other hand, does not acknowledge Catherine one way or another, instead focused on studying the cockpit and the views through the windows. Their rudeness bothered me. I didn't want Catherine to regret coming for us. I suppose I understood why they might mistrust the situation, but I still felt the jubilation of rescue, and Catherine, for this moment, was my hero. I tried to smile for them then, to reassure Catherine, which, of course, was forced and awkward. Fortunately, Catherine didn't seem to notice.
Sister Lucy? What are you, a nun? I am.
Catherine raised her eyebrows at Lucy, and then looked back at me, amused once more.
You are full of surprises, Christopher Cousins. All right. Nuns.
She turned back to the controls in front of her and touched a pad. A holographic navigation map lit up, hovering in the air at the front of the cockpit. The orbits of Mars, various satellites, gate rings, and other celestial objects glowing in muted reds, blues, and greens.
You said something about needing to get off planet. So, where are we going?
Before I can answer, Lucy stepped forward and put her hands on the back of my chair.
The Mars Gate Junction, for now. Yes, but where from there? Earth? Jupiter orbit? Just take us to the junction, and we'll see what we need to do once we get there. Please. Look, it would help to know which ring to aim for.
But she touched a few buttons in front of her, and a glowing green vector line lights up on the display, aiming for the cluster of Shayot rings, high above Mars, that hovered like vast, indifferent eyes. Matthew murmured to Lucy, though we all heard it.
I don't think they'll let us through the gate.
Catherine looked up sharply.
Why wouldn't they?
None of us answer her.
Wait, who exactly did you piss off? Christopher? Well, it's Shayot, we think. And they have the Martian government working with them.
Her face fell into a stormy mix of anger and bewilderment, and I felt so guilty, so ashamed. Catherine hardly knew me, and I her, but she seemed so genuine, unguarded, confident. She reminded me of Evan a little in that way, and I guess I still wanted a friend.
You're wanted by Shayot. What are you doing? Trying to unionize workers? Are you some sort of terrorists? Oi! It's Shayot that are the terrorists. Murdering bastards.
Easy, Oliver.
Catherine stared at me, furious. And now, also, afraid. Afraid of what she's been dragged into, no doubt. And that, perhaps, is what hurt me the most.
I'm going to get arrested. Christopher, what the hell is wrong with you? God, I'm such an idiot. I'm sorry, I tried to tell you we were in trouble. Yes, but I thought you meant some sort of local trouble. Some sort of gambling debt or something. I don't know, espionage? What did you do? I didn't know who else to call.
She turned in her chair to stare down at the other three, fire in her eyes.
I should turn you all over to the police right now.
That's when I saw, out of the side of my eye, Matthew surreptitiously sliding his pistol from behind his back. I almost leaped out of my chair to grab Catherine's hands and turn her to face me so she wouldn't see. I couldn't let this happen.
I wouldn't blame you if you did. But believe me, Catherine, the people chasing us, they killed my friend, the one I was waiting for. And now they're trying to kill us. All we're trying to do is get out of here, to get somewhere where we can be safe. We're not criminals. I mean, not really. I know you didn't ask for this, and honestly, I didn't ask for this either. But I don't want my friend to have died for nothing. So, I'm asking you again, please help us. Just get us away from Mars and drop us off somewhere. That's all.
Long seconds passed, disturbed only by the faint hum of the engines and the quiet ticking of the control panel. Catherine narrowed her eyes at me, looked over at Lucy, and then back to me.
Fine. I'm so going to regret this. Thank you.
I noticed that Matthew had put away his gun.
This doesn't change the fact that they won't let us through the gate. It's likely that the men chasing us got a good look at your ship.
We're not going to have much of a choice. We're almost to the gate nexus. I can try to get clearance. If not, I don't know. Maybe we can find some out-of-the-way place to land back on Mars. Darwin Station, maybe. Or Phobos Colony.
Whatever we do, we'd better hurry. There are probably Martian Republic ships scrambling to intercept us right now.
Well, thanks for adding to the excitement. Look, I got this. Why don't you all sit down and be quiet while I contact gate control?
The three of them strapped themselves into the padded benches at the back of the flight deck. Catherine adjusted her headset and touched a button on the control panel.
Shayok Gate Control, this is EGS Agony 1, requesting vector for Twine Drive.
A hush fell over the cockpit as we waited for a response. A few seconds later, a voice filled the flight deck from the comm speakers.
Agony 1, this is Shayok Gate Control responding. We do not have your flight plan on file. What is your cargo and destination?
Catherine muted her headset and turned to look at us.
We're going to have to tell them where we're going. We have to know which gate to use.
Oliver, Matthew, and I all looked to Lucy, who nodded once, her expression quiet and intense, her eyes closed. I suddenly realized that she might be praying.
Marley.
Catherine arched an eyebrow, querulously, at me, but activated her headset again.
Gate control, our destination is Marley Station. Cargo is passengers and sales samples. Just trying to show some businessmen a good time.
We waited for the answer. Nothing but silence came from the comms. The muted gold of a gate loomed in the front window, growing larger. Its shadow falls across the cabin, eclipsing the anemic sun. Still, we waited.
It's not working. Turn around. Be patient.
Agony 1, you are cleared for Twine Drive to the Jovian Trojans. Transmitting vector now. Estimated travel time from the current orbits is 54 minutes.
In the holographic map, a pulsing gold vector line appeared, leading to the heart of one of the vast circular gates. Catherine touched a few keys, and the ship rolled gracefully to match its course to the line.
Confirmed, gate control. On course now. Thank you.
She shut off the comms and then grinned back at us.
There. Not so hard, was it? Yeah, they must not have heard from their mates on Mars yet. Yes, so it would seem. Let us be grateful.
Matthew didn't say anything at all. Instead, he rose and walked through the hatch back to the lounge of the ship, pulling himself along in the microgravity by hand railings. I noticed Catherine watching him go with careful attention. I think she saw in him what I have already seen, the danger behind the man's stoic manner and tattooed skin. But then she gave Lucy and Oliver a weak smile.
We should be in position in a few minutes. Small ship like this, one aligns quickly, and we'll be in Twine Drive soon. So, we have about an hour to kill after that. Why don't you all take it easy back in the lounge? Help yourself to the bar or some snacks, okay? Thank you.
Lucy undid her harness.
Christopher, would you give the abbot's last words to Oliver?
It took me a moment to catch on, but then I awkwardly fished out the data sliver from my pocket and passed it to Oliver.
I am sure you have some things you want to say to Catherine. Come back and see us when you are done. We have things to discuss.
They left, the hatch sliding closed behind them. As we flew on, The sun slowly appeared out from behind the arc of the gate, a vertical sunrise, lighting Catherine's freckled face with its distant light. She was visibly trying to relax and accept the surprise we had dropped in her lap. She shot me a crooked smirk.
More secrets? I'm sorry. I really am. But it might just be safer for you if you didn't know. The Martian government and the biggest corporation of the solar system has turned their attention on me, thanks to you. Considering, I don't think safe describes my life right now.
I ran my fingers through my mussed hair, and pink sand spilled down from it. The dust of the tombs of Mars were in my clothes and shoes and streaked across my face.
I know. But I'm glad to see you again, despite all this.
She smiled at that, the tiny wrinkles around her eyes endearing.
Despite all this, I'm glad to see you too. So, is this all true? Your friend on Mars, he's dead? And you think Shayot had something to do with it? I do. It sounds insane, but Evan, my friend, apparently he was working with some people who found something on Mars. Something that has to do with Shayot and the gates. Something that Shayot wants very badly. Badly enough to kill people for. Wait, what something is this? Honestly, I don't know. They haven't told me. There's been no time. Everything happened so quickly. I haven't had time to figure it all out.
She went quiet as she took several moments to just study me, like she can't figure me out. We're approaching another gate now, head on, and soon it will engulf and surround us.
This seems like madness, doesn't it? I mean, yesterday I landed on Mars for a vacation. Now look where I am. How does something like this happen? It doesn't make any sense.
Catherine shot a quick glance at the door behind us, leading to the lounge.
Look, it's not too late, is it? You could turn yourself in, maybe? Say you got kidnapped. Those people back there don't seem like your sort of friends. I know I only just met you, but I'm in sales. I am really good at figuring out people quickly. What they like, what they dislike, what motivates them and moves them. What is someone like you doing hanging out with a group of, what, dissidents? Rebels? Anarchists? I mean, Christopher, is this you? Yesterday I would have agreed with you, but now I don't even know what me is anymore. Back on Earth, I was nearly killed by one of my students.
What?
Shot. I'll show you the scar sometime. That didn't make sense either. There wasn't any motive, at least not that I could see at the time. Now, other people are trying to kill me. I mean, if this wasn't something real, something important, they wouldn't bother. And I'm starting to hear things in the dark, and I'm not alone in that, apparently. All these events must mean something. Wait, what do you mean you're hearing things? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm going crazy. I'm overdue for a midlife crisis. At least that would be an explanation. This is one hell of a midlife crisis. Why can't you just have a torrid love affair or blow through your savings like everyone else? I know. It all seems unreal sometimes. But Evan is dead. And that's very, very real. He died for the same reasons that the four of us are being chased right now. I want to know why.
She leaned over and touched my knee, sympathetically.
Maybe you should just leave it alone, Christopher. You mean I should just pretend like nothing happened? No, not pretend. But look at you. You seem like you're in over your head. Maybe I am. But I must know. I think the day we go from living to mere existence is the day we stop asking questions. I lived like that for years. I don't think I can go back. So what are you going to do? Go to Marley. figure out what Evan wanted us to find there. Get it back to Earth.
She fell into silence, and I turned to watch the gate's perimeter pass beyond the edges of the window. We were tiny next to its enormity. A light blinked on the control panel. She touched its screen.
Here we go.
The cockpit was filled with the luminous purple flash of the gate. The light sizzles into my skin, penetrates my being, sets me afire for half a second, and then fades away, leaving only the after images in my eyes. A restless fizz in my nerves, and the starless nothing ahead of us.
I think I better go talk with Sister Lucy and the others. I have some questions I need answered. Okay. I'll be here.
I unlatched the belt and drifted out of the seat in the microgravity, maneuvering carefully over the pristine control panels and stylish upholstery.
We're lucky to have your help. Is this your ship? Oh no, I couldn't possibly afford a ship like this. It's the company's. I get use of it for sales trips. Oh, I guess this means you might be in trouble with your employers too. Only if they find out. But then, yeah, pretty much. Once again, I'm sorry.
She leaned over and gave me a playful shove, sending me drifting back towards the door. To my credit, I managed to stop myself before crashing into it. Perhaps I'm getting better at all of this.
Quit apologizing. What's done is done. I've talked my way out of problems before. Go on. Get your answers.
The Invisible Sun Trio were busy with their own projects in the well-appointed lounge. Matthew was methodically inspecting the interior of the craft, with its opalescent light panels and shiny fixtures lining the walls. Oliver had strapped himself into a chair and was pushing handfuls of snack crackers into his mouth with one hand while operating his tablet with the other. Lucy floated next to one of the windows, her long, dark hair with its trails of gray undone and drifting like seaweed around her. She brushed at some stubborn tangles, turning toward me as I joined them.
Is everything all right? I think so. She's a little overwhelmed by it all, but then so am I.
She began to pull her hair back into its ponytail.
I know this must be a difficult time for you. You are brave. Am I? Yes, you are. You could have gone home. You could have avoided all of this. But you did not. And as a result, we are not in Shayot's hands.
I gave a light push on the doorframe to drift toward Lucy and consider what she said.
It's strange. I feel like everything I've known has come undone. Normally that would terrify me. But right now, this moment, I'm fine with it. What does that mean? It means that you are now making choices with opened eyes.
I looked out of the window at the featureless blackness of Twine Drive. My face and Lucy's were reflected against the glass, dimly.
I would be able to make better choices if I knew what we were doing.
She snapped the elastic around the base of her ponytail and nodded in agreement.
Yes. Let's sit and talk.
She pushed smoothly off the wall with her booted toes and glided over to Oliver, stopping herself by snagging a hand grip on the back of his chair.
Anything.
He shook his head and pointed at the screen of his tablet. The ring of the data sliver Evan left me is hooked on one of his fingers.
Just as I expected. It's a data key. I can't tell if there's anything else on it. No way to decrypt it. It might have more information, or it might just be for a data lock. The recording said something about a locker. Maybe it's for that. Maybe that's where they're keeping it.
I pulled myself into one of the lounges and strapped myself in.
It. Are you ever going to tell me what it is? Yes.
Lucy buckled herself into a seat next to me. The tired lines on her bronzed face deepened as she gathered her thoughts.
Matthew tells me he saw you at a plague protest. Yes, that's right. I was nearly trampled by the crowd, but he saved me. What do you know of the plague?
Very little. I went to a meeting of that group, the Eyes of the World, but even they didn't know much about it. Some people don't even think it's real, but I do.
And why do you?
I think I've seen people with it.
Ken Zinn's pale and ghoulish face flashed in my memory, his trembling hand leveling the gun at me. I thought of the old man lying in the hallway outside Mrs. Zinn's apartment.
They were thin and pale. They seemed lost, somehow. And I met someone whose son died from the plague.
Ken Zinn may have taken his own life, but I was certain, after all I had been through, that it was the plague that pushed him to it.
She seemed to know, but was afraid to speak of it. And there was a policeman I met who knew as well, I think. The plague is real. It is a wasting condition. It acts slowly at first, causing loss of appetite and energy, weakness and fatigue. As it progresses, it accelerates. People start turning pale and thin. Internal organ function starts to break down. Lesions form on the skin. Mental capacity fails, and the victims become incoherent and unable to function on their own. Eventually, people turn into husks, weak shadows that linger. They take forever to finally die, unless they take their own life first.
Well, that sounded familiar.
How widespread is the plague? We estimate that over half the population of Earth has it.
What? Half? That's impossible.
She shook her head grimly.
It is hard for us to speak with complete certainty, but there is no immunity. It could be that everyone on Earth has it in its early stage. But I know for certain that the plague will continue to spread. More and more people will contract it.
But over half? There would be an outcry. People would demand an explanation, a cure.
There is no cure.
The full implications of her words didn't register with me right away. It was a moment or two after that that it sank in, while she continued to speak.
There is only a treatment, a regimen of drugs that slows the progression of the condition enough where people die of other causes before the symptoms stand out. This is especially the case in poorer countries, where the plague is everywhere, but the deaths are usually blamed on some other common disease. But not everyone responds to the treatment. Some are unlucky.
There was no cure.
There's no vaccine. No antibiotic. No. Because the plague is not caused by a virus or bacteria.
She fixed her sad, gray gaze on me.
The plague is a form of radiation sickness.
And, of course, then it all makes sense.
Shayot, the gates. Yes. How did you come to that conclusion? Evan said all this had to do with Shayot, as did you all. And they do seem to be trying to stop us. One obvious choice for a source of radiation that can infect an entire world is the gates. Hundreds of flashes a day, raining down that violet light on the Earth. Is the plague on Mars as well? Luna? The colonies? Yes, though the Martians have a lower incidence of sickness. The Martian civilizations are mostly underground, so fewer of the harmful particles get into the air and water of the townships. But in time, Mars will become as badly infected as Earth, as will Luna, and anywhere that lives below a gate. But why has Shayot allowed this to happen? They must know about it. They do. The entire economy of the solar system depends on the Shayot gates. Without the gates, it would take years to haul a single load of raw materials mined in the colonies to the factories back on Earth. The Earth is nearly used up. Without the gates, there is no mining. Without mining, there is no manufacturing, no fertilizer for agriculture, no supplementary water. Without those, collapse, starvation, and ruin. Or so they believe. But if so many people are sick, why don't we see more evidence of the plague? Because the governments of the solar system are in collusion with Shayot and the corporations that depend on their gates to suppress both the progression of the disease and the knowledge of it. The human population is medicated without their knowledge. How? In the water? That was tried early on, but the required dosage was too high, and many of the medicines required were not soluble in water. So, they put stimulants in the water instead, which means it's in the soft drinks, processed food, almost anything you eat or drink. Stimulants? Why? So people wouldn't be able to sleep.
I sank back into the seat, my fingers gripping my knees. All those sleepless nights. The agony of empty time spent in my sweltering apartment. How dare they?
Global insomnia. Free sleep aids. The sleeping pills also contain the drugs that slow the progression of the gate plague. And very few people know this. I don't take the sleeping pills. I never liked the way they made me feel. So, that means I cannot say for certain here and now. But you do look pale and thin to me, Christopher.
And there it is. I had suspected this whole time, of course. But somehow hearing someone else validate the thought and the full extent of its consequences drains the blood from my face, makes my throat tighten, fades the ship around me at the edges of my vision.
Is there a way to know for certain? There is a blood test we can do, if we can find some medical equipment on Marley.
I could see in her face and tone she was trying to be forthright and supportive. But there was also a weariness in her body as she spoke to me, as if she's had conversations like this far too often.
And if I start taking the pills, it may help, though they have diminishing effectiveness as the sickness progresses. They help flush out the radioactive particles, but only so much at a time. Once you have a certain level in your body, the pills can't get rid of more. The further along you are, the less good they do. I see.
She still watched my face, though I could see how tired she was now. Not sleepy, but a soul-deep exhaustion that comes from years of constant fighting. And delivering bad news like that to so many people.
I'm sorry.
I turned to look out of a nearby window, but of course, there's nothing to see out there. I thought about the gasping man on the hallway floor in underground. I thought about the delirium painted on the walls of Kin Zin's room, and the eyes that saw but did not see. Shuffling, emaciated, pale, lost in fever dreams. A lingering corpse. I was going to turn into that. And I think I understood then why a gunshot was preferable. Lucy reached out to touch my hand, just with the tips of her fingers. I looked and saw in her eyes a kind of restrained curiosity.
On Mars, you said you heard something. I did, yes. What was it?
She pulled her hand back as if she didn't want to intrude upon my space, but I noticed she didn't go too far. The fatigue I saw in her eyes had been replaced with veiled enthusiasm.
I don't really know. It felt like something was there, like I could almost see it, but couldn't. It was more like I knew it was there rather than seeing it. And it made a sound like the sound of blood rushing through your ears. And there was a deep drumming, a pulse that came and went. Is this related to the plague?
Sister Lucy worried her lower lip with her teeth, which struck me as unusual from what I have seen in her so far. Always calm, always certain. Yet here she was wrestling with something.
One of the things we see in progressing cases of the Gate Plague is reports of visual and auditory hallucinations. So, I was just hearing things. I do not think so.
Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed Matthew and Oliver paying particular attention to the conversation now.
What do you mean? I have seen hundreds of cases of the Gate Plague, and nearly all of them in the later stages have reported hearing the same thing that you did. Something like a distant drumming, a pulse, a vibration in the darkness. Something that is felt as much as actually heard. I find it hard to accept that everyone who suffers this sickness would hear and see the same things if it were just a hallucination. Well, what do they see? Darkness within darkness. Shapes that have form but slip away like smoke before you can pin them down. Wings. Cold eyes. Beings that move past us and around us all the time. Beings? What do you mean by that?
She pursed her lips together and chose her words with care.
I do not know what I believe about them. Only those who suffer the plague ever see them or hear them. But I have faith that they are real. Because I believe they are what we need to finally open the eyes of humanity to where our progress has brought us. I don't understand. We have tried, over the years, to convince the world of what the Shayot Gates are doing to us. But we have never been successful. The plague is subtle. The vast amounts of money and resources applied against us are overwhelming. But more than this, people want the gates. They are a misplaced hope, the only possible solution they can see to the stagnant end to the earth. Someone stops eating, wastes away, has visions. They call it cancer, or a blood disorder, or depression. They do not believe because it is too easy to dismiss. Shayot does not want us to know about these beings. That was what Evan was doing, along with the others on Mars. Finding evidence that they are real. We weren't digging or looking at graves, though Evan's bona fides helped us with that cover story. We were performing physics experiments in the places where these beings were known to appear. We call them angels.
The choice of name and its significance is too grandiose for me to ignore. I stared at her in doubt. But she pressed on, determined.
They can be found everywhere. But angel sightings are common on Mars at certain times of the year, and especially around the cathedral, though we are not certain why. There were reports of them all through Mars's history. Maybe that's why the settlers built the cathedral there in the first place. But we think that the Shayot Gates and the angels are related. Think of it. Alien or otherworldly life. The greatest revelation of all of human history. That we are not alone. If we can prove it exists and show the link between the angels, Shayot, and the plague, then we cannot be dismissed.
It was a lot to accept. But, considering what I had heard and seen, I found myself willing to give the idea the benefit of the doubt. Mystical name or not. Was that what I had heard in the tunnels? Alien life? But a thought occurred to me then.
If you demonstrate that the gates caused the plague, won't that do what you said it would do, and cause economic collapse? We are not sure exactly how badly our society would be impacted. But yes, I imagine without the gates, with our current economic policies, there would be collapse across many sectors. Change would have to happen, and things would get bad before they got better. But you see what the alternative is. I mean, is it worse?
I agree the secrecy is terrible. The consequence is dire. But with research into a cure, with study into how to block the radiation, I am trying to give humanity a choice. We have traded a slow, miserable end on the Earth for other planets whose resources keep us alive. But the gates that gave us the planets are killing us anyway. People must be told. They must know what price they pay for their salvation. Then they can choose to find a new way or pay in blood for these tunnels in the heavens.
I see in her now the struggle, the war she fights. The determination that has settled into her bones, clinging tenaciously, the only thing keeping her going. Whatever the truth of all this is, she believes.
All right. All right. What is it we're going to pick up on Marley? We're not entirely sure exactly what it is. Toward the end, those of us on Earth could afford little contact with those on Mars. Evan's messages had to be cryptic. But we believe that it is the evidence we need. The team managed to, somehow, capture something. Evan called it the Eye. The Eye.
Lucy's gaze was full of hope and wonder.
The Eye of an Angel.
Matthew and Oliver exchanged silent, wary glances. An Invisible Sun is written, produced, performed, and composed by W. Keith Timms, and is a production of Alien Ghost Robot Creative Media. If you're enjoying the story, please tell your friends and family about it, and leave stars or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. I hope you'll join us on our Discord server, or sign up for our mailing list so we can stay in touch. Members of our Patreon get to hear future episodes early, plus other cool perks for all our shows. Go to InvisibleSunPod.com for more information.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part, speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.